Okay, we're going to be in Romans 8, 1 through 9. Romans 8, 1 through 9. Our message today, and again, an encouraging message. No matter how convicted we may feel because of it. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, as His Spirit is in you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for His life being sacrificed for us, for Him paying the price for our sins, for Him being our propitiation and taking your wrath away from us, Father, and you are never angry at us again. And we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you did through Jesus Christ. And Father, we also thank you and praise you that you have raised him to new life, and in him we have new life as well, as he is our high priest. Not only is he our Lord, but he is the mediator of the new covenant, and in that regard he is our high priest. And we all have a ministry, the ministry of walking by faith, as we are to just look unto Jesus, keeping our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, and seeking to do your will in your ways, by your power, the resurrection power. So, Father, please prepare our hearts today to hear this. Thank you for getting us out of chapter 7 and moving us on with where you want us to be in our life. It's in Christ and in His Spirit and the power thereof. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so last week we saw Paul in torment as his heart is to do God's will, meaning his spirit is willing. But sin still controlled him. And thus, he didn't do what he knows he should, and he did the things he knows he shouldn't. All because the flesh is weak. So the spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak, just as Jesus said. And he goes on to say, "For we know that the law is spiritual." But Paul states, "I am carnal and sold under sin." I am a fleshly creature, sold under sin, without Christ, without his power. And he knows nothing good dwells in the flesh. And so he asks, how can I ever do anything good? How can I ever do anything godly? Because that's his heart's desire. And he rationalizes it as a war literally going on between the inner spiritual man and the outer carnal and fleshly man. So when Christ isn't in control, when the Spirit isn't in control of our life, it's that carnal man that is in control of our lives and leading us. As we're leaning on the flesh instead of leaning on Jesus Christ and walking in His Spirit. And he cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" As it says in Romans 7:24. And we looked at or explored that term body of death and how it refers to the ancient kings who had a practice of torturing their prisoners by taking a dead corpse and tying it to them back to back so that they would have to carry around this dead corpse with them wherever they went. And Paul is liking this life we have with this old dead man like this dead, rotting, stinking corpse being tied to us and walking with us. We have to drag it along with us wherever we go. And unfortunately, what we do is we allow that flesh to start taking control, that old man to get resuscitated again as we lean back and say, "Oh, well, I'll just do it," instead of having God do it in the Spirit. And we lean back and we lean back on the flesh, lean back on our old self, lean back on our old ways and own ways. As our mind is cluttered by worldly things instead of godly things, and we start walking in the flesh. That old man taking us wherever he wants to take us, right? And we're just hanging on. But in Christ, we're walking in him. We're walking in his spirit. And that old man stays dead, reckoned dead. His feet can't touch the ground to take control. Has no base of operation anymore. Because our heart and our mind is where it's supposed to be. And that's in Christ Jesus. Amen? So that's what we're going to learn about today. How we are to walk in the Spirit. And so he gave us the answer to how we're to live as new creations. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we are to live as new creations. Therefore, stop trying to do it yourself. Stop leaning on the flesh and let the Lord do it, relying on Him to do it into and through you, because the old nature knows no law. And today we'll see why the new nature needs no external law, because it has its own divine law by which we live by and live in. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the overarching law of our life. The overarching principle. The overarching governance of our lives. Now we're in Christ. And that's how we're to walk. And therefore, there is no condemnation for us, as we will continually reckon the old man dead. And our walk in Christ will not be hindered, but will be fully realized as He would desire. And even if we mess up from time to time, we have security in Christ, because He's going to get us back to where we need to be, leaning on Him. Not on ourselves. Amen? Let's go ahead and read Romans 8, 1 through 9. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And here comes the closing verse that we hang on to. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. Paul concluded previously in chapter 7 that the problem is not with the law. The problem is with our flesh. And the problem is us living carnally in the old man instead of the new creations He's made us to be. So Paul states, now, and we're going to use that word over and over again, now in Christ we have a responsibility. Response to the love of God and the ability it gives us to walk according to the Spirit and to continue to live carnally is death. So now we have a responsibility to walk in the Spirit, not in carnality, because carnality will lead to death. It will hinder your growth in Christ. It will hinder your walk. It will delay what God has for you. It will hinder the precious promises that He has waiting for you. May we not delay what He wants to give us. May we surrender and have all that He desires for us. And we who have Christ's Spirit living in us will overcome the flesh, will overcome sin by His Holy Spirit's resurrection power and fulfill the righteousness of the law in us. We will fulfill the righteousness of the law in us. In other words, that righteousness that was intended for the law to give will be fulfilled in us. Why is that? Because we are in Christ, and it is His righteousness that fulfills it. Amen? But we will have a role in that too, as we will see. But this is a spiritual battle that we must wage, as we are to obey God, as He has written His law upon our heart. And what is His law but the Word living in us? And the spiritual battle is to follow Christ, not the ways of the world, but to follow the Word, Jesus Christ, whose throne is in our heart or on our heart, and His Word is written on our heart, that we follow Him and not the world's ways, the ways of destruction. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many follow it, but narrow is the gate that leads to everlasting life. And what is the narrow gate? Who is the narrow gate? Jesus Christ. This is the spiritual battle we must wage. It is the fight for faith, the faith required to continually reckon the old man dead, just like Paul had to, because saving faith is justifying faith. Justifying faith is sanctifying faith. Sanctifying faith is abiding faith, and abiding faith fully redeems us and makes us into the children that God desires us to be. That's what it's all about. By grace, He's given us faith. The faith to be saved, to be declared holy, to be made like Christ, and to live in Christ, even though we're here in the world. We're not of the world. And we will have faith in Jesus Christ to the end. As 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. This is Paul talking. I have finished the race. What was his last statement and joyful cry? I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. That's what Satan wants to take away from us. His deception is to cause doubt and unbelief in us. If he can't get us to walk away from Christ, some may not even think that's possible, he could certainly keep us from being productive and leading others to Christ and growing our family in Christ and making others, or if you will, working with others to live in Christ by our example. So if he can't get us to walk away, he could certainly hinder all that God had planned for us in the hope of our calling. And it's that deception, that sin and carnality and the things of the world entice us to do, is to not be following Jesus, not to be productive in Him, but to enjoy the fruits of the world, which lead to death and destruction and, at the least, unproductivity. We don't want to be unproductive. We want to hear when we walk into heaven, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Oh, it's not just about salvation, us being saved. It's about what did we do with that for the glory of God. It's the life. Yes, there's the way and the truth, but there's also the life. And that's what chapter 8 is about. It describes the life we're to live and how we're to do it in Christ. The life of the Spirit in Christ. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is now what governs us. Praise God. In Christ, there is no condemnation, as we'll see today. In Christ, we have the Spirit of adoption, and we are God's heirs, as we'll see next week. And then a couple of weeks following, we'll see that in Christ we have eternal security and all that that means. And it's all due to our faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in His grace to the end. I like how John Piper puts it, future grace. Trusting in Christ for His future grace. Yes, there's that past grace that we know we're saved because Christ was crucified for us, but every day we live by faith in future grace, that His grace is always going to be sufficient for us. We just need to keep walking in His will. Hallelujah. So, all right, let's go ahead and press on. So that's kind of where we're headed, and over the next probably 4 or 5 weeks, so I just wanted to give you an overview of that. So let's go ahead and unpack what we have for today, verses 1 through 9. God's overarching law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, verses 1 through 4. Now, as a little further introduction, this, by the grace of God, is the new law of faith. In other words, we have everything that God promises us by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So really, it's like the overarching law of faith. That's how Chuck Smith puts it. And this is the faith by which we operate in and operate by. as God looks upon the mind and the heart of the born-again believer, those who have faith in His Son, that's saving faith, and those who are declared righteous and holy, that's justifying faith, and have Christ formed in our hearts and in our minds, that's sanctifying faith. And we are transformed by consistently following Jesus. That's abiding faith. And we'll abide in Him and we will be conformed to His very likeness. Likeness no longer of the sinful flesh, but likeness of Him as the embodiment of the fullness of the Godhead. That's what our life is to be about. And we are conformed by the power of His Holy Spirit. There is therefore, verse 1, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That says it all. Now, because you have saving faith, because you've been justified, because He's declared you holy and righteous, because you're being sanctified and made holy, right? You're learning about God. You're growing in your knowledge of God. You're maturing in Christ. You're being sanctified and made holy. Not only are you declared holy, but you're made holy. And you abide in Jesus, following Him. In the beginning, sometimes it's at quite a distance. But what we want to do, or what God wants us to do, is be in step with Him. Where we're right in step with the Son. So that as the sun would shine on us, there would be no shadow cast. Like high noon, as we're in the sun's light, there'd be no shadow cast because we're right in step with Him. But as we step back from Christ, we start casting a shadow. What's that shadow represent? The darkness that we may be hiding in our lives. Because how we live, starting to do carnal things. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is starting to be grieved. So may we walk in unity with Christ. Abiding in Him. Abiding means living in Him. Residing in Him. Not only is our bodies His holy temple, but Christ is ours. We're living in Jesus Christ. What makes us holy? Jesus Christ and the life He's given us. That's what makes us holy. That's what this life is all about. That's why the power of God can affect us. And be effective in our lives. Because it's demonstrating Jesus Christ and not ourselves. Hallelujah. That's what walking in the Spirit is all about. Now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't ever overlook the word in. It's a qualifier. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. Now let's go ahead and dissect this verse a little bit more. Therefore indicates that this is a concluding statement. And this isn't just a concluding statement of chapter 7 that we just got out of. It's a concluding statement of the chapters 3 through 7 with regards to having salvation in one place, in one place only. In Christ Jesus. It's not in grace. Although in Christ we receive grace. It's not in faith, that of yourselves. It's in Christ Jesus. It's not in anything else of this world or anything of yourself. Salvation is found in one place. In Christ Jesus. If I could get one thing formed in our heart to always remember, it's in Christ Jesus is where our life is. That's where our eternal security is. That's what abiding is all about. And when you're doing that, everything else takes care of itself because it's being done through Jesus Christ. It's not just about His death. It's also about how He was raised to new life and we are raised to new life as well. And the word now indicates that salvation is ours already. Now you have it. The next question would be, what are you going to do with it? Now you have it. John Piper also has a book out, Don't Lead a Wasted Life. He also said that God is most glorified when we're most satisfied in Him. God is most glorified when we're most satisfied in Him. We're not looking for anything else but Him. So now, salvation is ours already. And that's why there's no condemnation. It's not about anything we've done. It's about what God has done through Christ by us surrendering, us being convicted, us receiving the gift of salvation by grace and through faith, which is also a gift. We've been saved. And it goes on to say, if you are those in Jesus. If. You mean salvation has a qualification? Well, yeah. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. And believe is a verb, not a noun. It's something you do, not something that was. It's something you do and who you are. So those in Christ are those who believe and follow Him as they've accepted God's free gift of salvation through faith. I mean, it's here for the offering for everyone. God wants none to perish. It's there for everyone. But it's only effective. It's sufficient for the whole world because God gave His Son for the whole world. But it's only efficient for those who will answer the call of God and accept Christ as their Savior and their Lord. The Lord of their life, the Master of their life. And then the Holy Spirit indwells you and He leads you in that bond servant role that God has given us. A slave to God is how Paul put it. Slave to righteousness. But in that slavery we have been set free. Set free by the truth. Set free from the bondage of sin. So now we can live with the Spirit controlling our lives instead of sin. John 3:18. Let's turn there. John 3:18. This is how Jesus put it as far as not being condemned. John 3:18 says, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." When you're believing in the name, you're believing in the person, the essence of all that that person is. He is God, the Son. And believe, as I said, is an action word because faith is action. I like how the Amplified Bible puts it because it shows more of the action and gives us really a description of what believes means. You know, what's it mean to believe in Him? Well, here's what it says in the Amplified Bible for John 3:18. "And he who believes in Him..." And here's where it describes it. "He who clings to, trusts in, and relies on Him." That's what believing is. Not just you mumbled some words out of your mouth, now you're going to live however you want to. You believe in Him. You cling to Him. You trust in Him. You rely on Him. Then, that person is not judged. And it goes on to qualify. "He who trusts in Him never comes up for judgment. For Him there is no rejection. There is no condemnation. In other words, He incurs no damnation." And I believe they're trying to clarify that we will have the judgment seat of Christ where our works are going to be judged, but we're not judged. The works that we did are judged, whether it's hay, wood, it's stubble, or something that says gold and precious jewels and silver. So, He incurs no damnation. "But he who does not believe, he who does not cleave to, rely on, trust in Him, is judged already." And it goes on to describe, "He has already been convicted and has already received his sentence because he has not believed in and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name." What's Christ's name mean? Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. If you refuse to believe that Jehovah is salvation and He sent His Son to bring salvation to you and for you in Him, you are condemned. That is the only sin you'll ever be condemned for. Remember, believing in Him takes away all the sins. Without believing in Him, we're nothing but sin. Sinful nature. Born into it. Through the seed of Adam. So I like to think of it this way. Faith puts the love of God into action. What is action? believing in Jesus, because God first loved us. He poured out His love in our hearts. And we desire then to follow Jesus. Faith puts His love in action. We take those steps and do the things that He would desire us to grow in our knowledge of Him, to have Christ formed in us, in our hearts, to be transformed with the renewing of our mind, and to be conformed on the outside as we grow in Christ. A little more detail on that. Clings to means the same as cleave. That's why they use cleave in the other verse, or the other part of the verse. Cleave means stick to Jesus like glue. It says that a man will leave his family and cleave to his wife. It's the same kind of word. You're going to cleave. You're going to stick to her like glue. There's going to be no separation between you and your wife. Well, guess what? We're the bride of Christ. Right? It's the church now. Individually, it calls us bridesmaids when they talk about like the 10 bridesmaids or whatever, because that's individuals. But collectively, we're the church. So we're to cleave to Jesus just like His bride, because we are His bride. There's to be no separation. We're to be in unity with Him. As we are to trust in and rely upon Him. These are those not walking in the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And like Paul was for a while in chapter 7, we may even get sidetracked or backslide from time to time, but our heart's desire and our mindset is to do the will of God. But in the weakness of our flesh, we sometimes try to do it ourselves instead, and we lean back on the flesh, and we end up in sin. Because we give sin that base of operation to do it, because we're leaning on our own knowledge instead of what we know to be true in Christ Jesus and trusting in Him. When we try to do it ourselves instead of having Christ do it, we end up in trouble. We end up acting carnally. That's Paul. Confessed and looked like, to me, repentance right there in chapter 7. May we repent the same way. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In the first verse, Paul told who would deliver us from wretchedness. Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Now he tells us how. Jesus does this. He does this through His Spirit governing our lives, because we're in Christ, He is in us, and He is our life now. Now we're in Christ, now He is our life. And He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's given it all to us. And He has therefore freed us from the law of sin and death, which is what results when you abide in Jesus. When you abide in Him, instead of abiding in the law of Moses or abiding in a bunch of rules and regulations and trying to have a checklist of what you've completed and what you haven't. Instead of looking at your failures, look at your accomplishments in Christ and what He's accomplished in you and through you. Don't look at your shortcomings, because you had all those before you came to Christ. Look at what He has done in you and how you have changed. Focus on Him and what He has done. There'll be enough people pointing out all the things you do wrong. Christ wants to focus on the things you're doing right and to grow in those things. Keep your eyes focused on Him. So His Spirit governing our lives. Verse 3. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That means we've been born again in the Spirit. We are redeemed. This new spiritual law of life in Christ now overcomes the law of sin and death, as we have victory in Him, as this is the law of faith, which means by grace you've been saved through faith, which is also a free gift, not by works, so no man may boast, because when you start trying to do it yourself and earn it or think you deserved it, then it's all wrong. It's dead works of the flesh. So, the victory we have is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How do we get that? Well, John puts it very clearly. Let's turn to 1 John 5:4 through 5. 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5. How faith works. how we experience this victory. How do we have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? It says here in verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're born of God, you're going to overcome the world. Well, how's that happen? How's that possible? We know who does it, Jesus. How does it happen? Well, we're born from above in the Spirit. And he goes on to say, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith." Our faith, and I like it as an acronym. Father asked, I trust Him. Father asked, I trust Him. Him who He has sent. Him who leads us. Him who lives in us. Him whose Spirit is going to get us through this world by trusting in Him. By relying on Him. By cleaving like glue to Him. How do we do that? By faith. Saving faith. Transitions to justifying faith. That is sanctifying faith, where we grow in our knowledge of Him. That turns into abiding faith, where we will hang on to Him no matter what. That He will be our life. Because like any child, you can start off crawling, like a toddler, walking and stumbling. And then you become a teenager. That's when you really get rebellious, right? You think you know something. But then we have that abiding faith. It says, oh man, give it up. It's just all unproductive. It's useless. It's a waste of my time. I'm not having all that God desires for me. And no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive the things that God has for those who love Him. You can't even conceive what God has for you because you love Him, because He desires the best for you. And the best is not carnality. The best isn't anything this world can offer. The best is all that He is and all that we are in Christ. That's the best. You will find life and peace and satisfaction in only that. He promises us that. Oh, the time we waste trying to do things right ourselves instead of in Christ. Doubting. Coming up with my own plan instead of waiting on the Lord and in the Lord for His plan to be unveiled through prayer and Scripture, getting ahead of Him. Or just as bad, staying behind when He opens the door. I should have walked through. So verse 5 says, "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Believes in the name of God. Believes that Jehovah is salvation. Hosanna! Saved now is what we sang today. Save now, Jesus. Save me now from myself. Save me now from my old ways. My old man. Save me from relying on my own wisdom. But we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now we understand how to walk. Now we understand what faith is all about. It's not just some words on a page. It's about God's love put into action as He enables us and empowers us to do it. And it's the faith that He's given us, and everybody has been given a measure of faith to fulfill the hope of the calling that He's given each and every one of us. What stops it? What hinders us? Us. It is by this abiding faith that the old man is reckoned dead continually. And not by anything we can do, but by the resurrection power of God's Holy Spirit, Christ's Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit that now governs our life, enables us to live in Christ's victory. And Christ's victory is the faith we have in Him. Not doubting. Not trying to do it ourselves. Not drifting. Not becoming dull of hearing. But being attuned to Him. And we're freed then from the law of sin and death, which means we have eternal life in Christ. What an awesome God we have. So, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So now Paul alludes again to the fact that the law wasn't the problem. The weakness of the flesh is the problem. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The law is holy. The law describes what we're to do, but the flesh is weak. Jesus did come in the flesh, but born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. It was not sinful flesh, so it only looked like sinful flesh. He had no sin. He who had no sin became sin for us, because He did not come from the seed of Adam. He did not come from the seed of man. As it says in Genesis 3:15, that He came from the seed of the woman. And we know that the seed is from the man, so it had to be a supernatural birth. The woman has the egg. The man has the seed. So there in Genesis 3:15, when the curse was given, the redemption was too, through the virgin birth of our great Messiah. And on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. You can't get a better picture of sin being condemned in the flesh, at least in my mind, than unless you've watched the Passion of the Christ and seen Christ crucified. And I understand that's only a small picture of what really happened. But how horrific sin was, and how God the Father had to condemn it in His own Son by the most horrific death known to man, crucifying our precious Lord, the innocent one, the holy one, beating Him beyond recognition, so that by His stripes we are healed. That the iniquity of us all was placed on Him. That His soul became a sacrifice for us, as all the sins of the world that ever were and ever will be was placed upon His innocent soul. And the Father was pleased. And Jesus was too, because what did Jesus say? It is finished. Amen. And don't think Jesus wasn't all human. Just turn to Luke and look at the Garden of Gethsemane as He cried out to God, sweating drops of blood. And it's a medical condition where you get so stressed out that the capillaries in your pores break. And as you sweat, you bleed. He says, Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But Your will be done, not mine. That's what Jesus did for us. How hard is it now for us just to say, Father, Your will be done, not mine. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. As the law could pronounce judgment on sin, but the law could do nothing about sin itself. It had no power to put sin to death. But Jesus can, as He did at the cross. And He can put it to death in your life if you live the crucified life by faith, abiding in Him. That's what walking in the Spirit is all about. It couldn't make a person righteous. The law couldn't. The law of Moses. It could only identify how far short we fall. And in this way, God giving His own Son, condemning sin in the flesh by Him being crucified, God overcame sin and deprived it of its power for all who accept Christ as their sin offering and atoning sacrifice. That's what it means to say, I have been crucified with Christ. Because you accept His death that takes away the power of sin as the death to your flesh. And then sin will have no power in you, as that's what abiding in Christ does. Moreover, That's what I love about God. Well, I love a lot of things about God, but it's just like blows my mind. He filled the void left by sin. All those things that you could have ever thought pleased you because of sin, He fills it with the Holy Spirit and God's riches at Christ's expense. The infinite riches of grace is given to you. Things you could never conceive or imagine are waiting for you, and you have right now in Christ Jesus. If you'll only ask Him for them, you have not because you ask not. If you'll only surrender to Him and are prepared then to use them for His glory and His purposes. So it's in His timing. But a lot of that timing has to do with where you're at in your walk with Christ, your maturity, the sanctifying faith that you have. How much are you allowing Him to do? God never does anything halfway. You know, it's not enough to save us from ourselves. He filled us with Himself. He saved us from ourselves to fill us with Himself. The fullness of the Godhead is in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word says. And now Christ Jesus lives in us. We can't even imagine what that means. We can have an inkling, but we can start experiencing it by taking those small steps of faith each and every day. By now allowing the Holy Spirit to enable us to do it. We know we need to pray. We know we need to be in the Word. We know we need to surrender. We know we need to be in fellowship. And we need to be praying for others. Is that what saves us? No. But because we are saved, we're allowed to participate in these things and to grow in Christ. And to have that freedom, experience the freedom, the liberty that He's given us in Christ. Or we can shut the door and they're just words. It's, I know what I should do. Sounds like chapter 7. But I do what I shouldn't. Willfully. Habitually. That's where the danger comes in. That's why God gives us repentance. That's why His blood is a continual cleansing. That's why surrendering to Christ is a continuing process. That's why redemption isn't done until we're in Christ with our new bodies. Amen? Because it is the Lord who wills and acts in us according to His good purpose. That's why Paul says, continue to work out your salvation in fear and trembling, meaning in the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. Verse 4, and in closing, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, might be fulfilled in us. Not by us. Fulfilled in us. But I believe this has a twofold meaning. I see this as Christ has fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law for us, and in Him, we have fulfilled its righteous requirements as well. We're in Christ. He's done it all. He's fulfilled the law totally. And having His righteousness not only imputed to us, but imparted in us, we will walk in His ways. We'll walk in the will of God. And we will be those witnesses that He desires us to be. And how do we do that? Surrendering. Cleaving to. Sticking to Jesus like glue. Relying on Him. Trusting in Him. Stop leaning on our own understanding, but trusting in God's understanding that comes through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you've got all you need right here. You got it all. Your entire marriage proposal, nuptial, and there's nothing that He holds back. You know these premarital nuptials, what do they call them? You don't get the property or whatever, you get divorced. Well, there's no divorce with God. You get the whole thing. You become an inheritance. You inherit all that Jesus has. You have His wedding vows. You have His love letter. You have all that He has for us right here. What do we do with it? I'm going to watch TV. Some housewives or something. Or And I won't say the Bears because that's still the it's too close to home. Whatever it is, some of these reality shows. And this is a rhetorical question. When's the last time you sat down with your family and read the Word and talked about it? Just a thought. Not because you have to, but because you want to. Because that's what God puts in our heart. That's what He puts in our mind when we're walking in the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Father. We know You've done it all, and You desire to do so much more in and through us. Well, actually to us as well. And we accept that. Father, we know we have a responsibility. Response to the love of God and the ability You give us, and You've filled us with Your Holy Spirit in order to be able to accomplish it. Thank You so much, Father. May we do our small part by just clinging to, trusting in, and relying on Jesus and not leaning back on our own flesh. Thank You, Father. Thank You for our precious Jesus. Thank You for this message. Thank You for our life, the way, the truth, and the life in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.